Okay, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to read in God's Word first 10 verses of chapter 28 in the Word of God. The resurrection passage in the Gospel of Matthew. All right, let's stand as we read the Word of God together. Let's read together in unison the first 10 chapters of Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray, Father. Now we pray as we think of the grand truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that, Lord, its truth would be known and understood, and that it would be reality in the life of each hearer. And we would pray that the life and the power, the presence of our resurrected Lord, the forgiveness, the complete salvation, the eternal life that he offers would be clearly presented. And we thank you, Lord, that you are risen indeed. And we thank you that, Lord, that we know that our labor is not in vain in you. And we thank you that, Lord, in like manner, so as ye went to heaven, ye shall return. And we look for that even today. We pray your blessing upon your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 6, the angel makes a great announcement. He says, He is not here. Praise the Lord. The empty tomb and the resurrected Lord. And as today, as we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the issue, one of the issues of life is that there are many people today that really don't know if Jesus rose from the dead or not. Oh, there may be many people that so-called believe it. There may be many who assume it to be true. But there are many people who do not really know that Jesus rose from the dead. They really don't know the reality of a resurrected, living, Savior. And if they would be honest and you would ask them if they really believed that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they would say, well, I think so. I hope so. But they could not say without a shadow of a doubt, they could not say, I know so. And this morning, I'd like to think about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'd like to think about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of issues that speak of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the first reality is the empty tomb. The empty tomb, the tomb is empty. You know, all the great other religions of the world their leaders, their authors, never claimed that they would be raised from the dead. In fact, not only did they never claim to be that they would be raised from the dead, but all of their tombs are still full. Their bodies are still in their tombs. There's only one whose tomb is empty, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is risen. We know that the Bible makes it very clear that not only is his tomb empty as a reality of the fact of His resurrection, but you know the reality of the fact of the seeking prevention of His empty tomb is also a testimony of the fact that He is risen. The Bible tells us in chapter 27, verse 62, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Of course, they were the enemies of the Lord Jesus, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. And of course, a number of places in the scripture, Jesus predicted that he would rise again. Matthew 16:21, Matthew 17:23, Matthew 20:19. Many places in the scripture did he predict that he would rise again. The Old Testament has a multitude of prophecies that the Messiah would come and be raised from the dead. And so the enemies of the Lord Jesus wanted to make sure that his tomb would not be opened, that his tomb would not be able to be emptied, and that he would not be able to rise from the dead. And so Pilate said, they said to Pilate, verse 64, command therefore that the sepulchre may be sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. Now think of the great effort that the Pharisees, the Sadducees took in preventing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think of how absurd someone could think, well, they thought they could prevent the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they sealed the tomb to make sure that any indication that someone would tamper with the tomb would be known. They set a Roman watch over the tomb. And of course, these were no mere night watchmen. These were no mere security guards. These were Roman soldiers whose duty to death was to guard this grave. And of course, we know that the lame excuse that they gave them to give was unthinkable, that a Roman soldier would fall asleep on the watch. Fall asleep on this watch. Unthinkable. Roman soldiers did not fall asleep on the watch. Roman soldiers were the top of the line. And any Roman soldier that did fall asleep on the watch would be dead the next day. And yet, they could not prevent the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though they set a watch, though they set a seal upon the stone, they could not prevent the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Bible tells us that the stone was rolled away and there was an earthquake. But you know, the stone didn't need to be rolled away for Jesus to rise from the dead. In Jesus' resurrection body, he met with the disciples. He met with them in the room and he disappeared straight through the wall. And he didn't even leave his food behind that he ate with them. I don't understand how that took place. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, could not be withholden by any stone walls or by any gate or any stone over the tomb. The Lord Jesus Christ as God himself, the divine Son of God, raised himself from the dead. The Spirit, the Bible says, raised him from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead. God, Father, and God the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, all working in connection. Jesus raised from the dead. No stone, no grave could withhold him because he was the Son of God, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over man, and victorious in affirming that he did pay the penalty of our sin. But you know, his resurrection and was the reality of it was known by the pronouncement, the royal pronouncement of his resurrection. The Bible tells us, verse number 2, as Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, came to the sepulcher, there was a great earthquake. And for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Oh, wow. And here we have these mighty soldiers fleeing from the grave, fleeing in fear. Why? Because there has been a great earthquake, an announcement from heaven that the master of the worlds and the creator had risen from the dead. There was a great descent of the archangel who rolled away the stone. There was the countenance of their angel, so bright and glorious, to announce the coming. And there was the announcement itself. And the announcement was, verse 6, he is not here. For he wasn't there. The reality of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15, we think of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul gives us some great insight into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a number of, in the past, a number of great books that have been written by Christian lawyers and who have presented cases before the Supreme Court, presented cases in the court of law, and would say in the court of law, if you would bring the evidence, and you would bring evidence like you would do in any court of law. Of course, in a court of law, you would bring witnesses, the Bible says you need to bring two or three witnesses. Eyewitnesses. You would have to bring other historical evidence in the court of law. You would have to bring the evidence. You would call the soldiers to the stand. And you would give the evidence of the fact of the grave clothes that laid in the tomb. And the grave clothes that the Lord Jesus escaped from in his resurrection. You would bring many evidences to the court of law to declare a judgment on the reality of the resurrection. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which ye also have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Here we have the witnesses. They would call a witness stand. And the Bible tells us that there are over 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a court of law, there, and even at the time of the writing of 1 Corinthians in the mid to late 50s, there were a great majority of those 500 eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body that could testify, yes, he is risen indeed. The reality of his resurrection by his personal appearance. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the changed lives of the disciples. As you know, sad to say, that at the apprehension of our Savior, all the disciples fled. All the disciples feared and fled. I should say all the men disciples, but the ladies stood true to their Savior and stood at the cross and stood and took him to and cared for his body in the tomb and were the first to go to the tomb. But we find that the disciples, Peter, the foremost, forsook him and fled. In fact, denied the Lord outside in the courtyard of the high priest. But the explanation of a fearful band of disciples to a fearless witnessing, preaching a group of men. Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, but as it is the third hour of day. But this was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to speak of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice his boldness. Notice his bravery. Notice verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And here we have the disciples now preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, victorious over sin, victorious over death, victorious over the grave, the Savior, the risen Son of God. We find the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in changed behavior and actions and the work of the disciples. We also see the reality of the resurrection in the conversion of his enemies. In the conversion of his enemies. There it was on Pentecost in the Jewish crowd. Notice as Peter is preaching to the that crowd, the Bible says in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here we have this great crowd now, many of them former enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, now have received him as their Lord and Savior. And of course, the greatest of all enemies, the Apostle Paul, who met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And the Apostle Paul said to him, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is seen in the conversion of his enemies and in the conversion of multitudes of others. The reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is found in the coming of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, Jesus predicted that when he rose from the dead and he would go to heaven, he would give the Holy Spirit to them that believe him. John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The coming of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, in verse number 7, the prediction of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is come. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The coming of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus predicted that, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and in Samaria and other most parts of the world. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the testimony that Jesus rose from the dead, for it is the result and the prediction and the promise of the fact that Jesus would rise from the dead, and when he would, that the Spirit of God would no longer be with the believer, but the Holy Spirit would be in the believers themselves, permanently dwelling. We could say many other things about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you know, the question is, you can know the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ personally. It is historical fact. It is a proven historical fact. It is an undeniable fact of history that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It is reality of an empty tomb. It is reality of the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Word of God. It is reality seen in change in the very lives of the apostles, who changed from fearful into bold witnesses. It is found in the reality of the power of the gospel and the conversion of multitudes, even his enemies throughout the centuries. It is seen today in the fact that Jesus Christ is in heaven, the high priest of all men. And all men that come unto God through him are saved. And you can have that reality, though in your life it can be a personal reality. And you know, that is probably the greatest reason that people do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The greatest personal reason that people do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is because they have never personally been born by the Spirit of God and have the reality of a living God in their life, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, if a person will come to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that there will be a resurrection that takes place in their life right then. Right then. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that the moment a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they believe on God that has sent Christ to pay for their sins and raise them from the dead. When a person puts their faith in the reality of the salvation in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that there is a new birth taking place. They are passed at that moment from death unto life. Death unto life. The reality of the resurrection. The reality in your life. The reality in your life. A living Savior raising you from the condemnation of sin and the death of sin and the darkness of sin and the blindness of sin and the power of sin, raising you into new life, a resurrected Savior. The reality. The reality in the conversion of sinners. The reality of victory over sin. Romans chapter number 6. The reality of victory over sin. This great chapter in the scripture reminds us of the great power over sin found in Jesus Christ. Verse number 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, death dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For that in he died unto sin once, but that in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. But Bible tells us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And because he is living, he can give you victory over sin. The drunkard can be delivered from the bottle. The drug addict can be delivered from the drugs. The gambler can be delivered from his addiction. The proud, the bitter, the unforgiving can be delivered from the hold of that sin because Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. Amen. And the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ can be had right in your own life. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. This resurrected Savior is known in the reality, in the life of a believer, for the fact that he can be approached unto boldly, that he will find grace to help in the time of need. The Apostle Paul experienced that great grace. The Apostle Paul was afflicted with an infirmity of the flesh, and he asked the Lord that it might be taken away. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Yes. And the Apostle Paul said that grace and that power of a living Savior was real. And he said, "Yes, therefore I will most gladly glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, I am strong in Christ." The reality of a living Savior. I wonder, have you experienced the reality of a risen Savior? He's real. He's alive. It's not for 2,000 years ago. It is for today. Oh, those people that you're in bondage of sin. And you say, "Well, that's just the way I am." You say, "I can't be changed. It's impossibility. I've seen the psychiatrist and they say that's the way you also will always be. I give you a few pills to mask it over." No, you can be freed by Jesus Christ. Because he is the living Savior. The living Savior. The reality in Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 19. As Jesus rose from the dead, as he appeared to the disciples, he gave them a great commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's the great commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the reality of a living Christ is seen in his presence with those who take out the gospel. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It was David Livingston who was the first to map out and explore the interior of the continent of Africa. He did it for one purpose. He did it to open up the Africa to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was truly a dark continent. It still is a dark continent. As David Livingston went to the uncharted waters and lands of Africa, he faced insurmountable difficulties and cannibals and dangers of life and dangers of wild beasts. And as he was called to the land of Africa, God used this verse, the promise of his presence. Lo, I am with you always. One day, David Livingston came, and they were about to go into an area was known as cannibal country. And a very, very fierce, violent, ferocious cannibals that very few people ever came out alive, even other black people. And as they were about to approach this area, his guide says, Brother Livingston, I don't know if we ought to go forward. This is very dangerous. We may not come out alive. David Livingston went into his tent, and there he prayed. There he opened up his scripture. There he opened up the promise of a living Savior, a resurrected Lord, the promise of his personal presence for those who take the gospel to the ends of the world. And there, as he looked upon the Word of God, he was reassured again of the promised presence of a living Savior. He got out of that tent off his knees, and he said to his helpers, no, we'll not turn back. I've got the promise from the Lord. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we will go in his real living presence. And of course, it was a promise fulfilled by the Savior a multitude of times. And you know, all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ are looking for his soon return. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the Lord Jesus, this is a record of the Lord Jesus' return. In verse 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, it wasn't too many years ago, it used to see bumper stickers. In case of the rapture, the driver of this vehicle will be evacuated. The reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be seen in the rapture, the snatching away of all those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and meeting him in the sky. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you know the living Savior? Do you know him? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know Jesus Christ? Oh, you may know about him. You may even believe in his resurrection. But do you personally know him? Do you personally, have you personally experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life by being passed from death unto life and for him to be living and dwelling in your heart? John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can you think, can you give testimony of the fact of the day that you repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, as you surrendered your life to him? Can you give testimony of that day in which you were passed from death unto life? Can you give testimony that you know the reality of a living Savior, that you've come to him, that you've been saved, and that he is living in your heart? Are you here today? You say, oh, I know the reality of Jesus Christ. I can point the day that I trusted him as my Savior. I can point you the day, the hour, I was under conviction of my sin and conviction of my wickedness and conviction of the wonder of the glory of Jesus Christ. And I turned from my sin and turned to Christ as my Lord and Savior. But you have backslidden. You have backslidden. And you no longer are having victory over sin. You are no longer victorious over sin in your life. You once again have fallen over to the dominion of sin in your life. For the living, risen Savior is no longer, you are no longer trusting him and walking with him and leaning upon him. And you are no longer living in victory over sin. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And there is no excuse. There is no reason that we need to live in defeat. There is no reason that we need to live under the bondage of sin. There is no reason we need to live addicted to the sins of this world. There's no reason we need to live in the lusts of our flesh, because the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead and he is the living Savior, and the Spirit of God is the power of God unto salvation. Are we living today in victory over sin in our personal lives? First Corinthians 15:58, the conclusion to the chapter on the resurrection. What does it say? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are you doing with your life? Are you living? Are you living as though Jesus didn't raise from the dead? Are you living like the lost world around you who doesn't know a risen Savior? Have you lost focus of the purpose of your life? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He rose from the dead. He paid the penalty of our sin. He gives new life. But someday, we will also stand before Him. Someday, we will look in His eyes. And we will give account. We won't be able to hide around the corner. We won't be able to escape. We won't be able to run away. We'll give account. And the Bible says, because we will give account. Because there will be that day in which all the trials of this world will be over. There will be that day in which we are raised from the dead. And our salvation is complete. There will be a day of reckoning. And He says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, the Russian Christians, I would imagine today, I'm not sure what is happening today. I would recognize that persecution has returned to Russia today. But probably the West has polluted Christianity in Russia to a certain degree, and they may need to return to their state of revival. But under the Soviet era, the Christians in Russia decided that the state was no longer going to tell them they could not teach their children the Bible. The real Christians in Russia decided that they were no longer going to go to a church where there were Soviet agents among the board members. The real Christians decided they were not going to go into a church where the Soviets were spying and were allowed to put microphones to hear the prayers of the people. The real Christians decided that they weren't going to be afraid of the state anymore. They weren't going to be under their lordship, but they were going to live for Jesus Christ and raise their families for Jesus Christ. They were not going to be silent anymore with the gospel, but they were going to be bold and give out the word of God, even though they would be persecuted. And so those believers who decided to live for Jesus Christ, it was known as the persecuted church. It could have been called the underground church, but they weren't underground. They were in broad daylight, living for Jesus Christ. They were living for eternity, not to save their skin from the KJV. Not to be under the dominion of an atheistic government, but to live for Jesus Christ. And those people, many of them whose preachers spent time in jail, many of them who were beaten as they met to hear the word of God, many of them who died in concentration camps. In fact, under Stalin, 38,000 Baptist preachers were put to death. But these Soviet Christians, living for God, living for eternity, as they would greet one another, their greeting was, "He is risen." And the respond was, "He is risen indeed." And that is what the Apostle Paul says. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? You know, that is the testimony of a person who believes that Jesus Christ is living. And that they will stand before Him someday and give account of how they have lived. The reality of a resurrected Savior. Do you know Him? Is the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ real in your life? Praise God. It was October 31st, 1968. I, as a lost, hell-bound sinner, called upon Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And that day, I was passed from death unto life and never been the same since. Can you give testimony of the reality of a resurrected Savior, a living God living in your life? Can you say today, my life is a testimony of a resurrected Savior, in the reality of the change in this taking place in my life, the reality of the victory over sin, the change my old ways, the victory over sin, victory over temptation in this world, because there is a resurrected Savior. If you're saved, you can have that reality today, by turning and trusting in faith in Him as a resurrected Savior to give you power over sin. You today can determine that because you are going to see a Savior, it will be worth it all to live for Him. Your hours, your days, your life, your lifestyle, all a testimony of that you believe and have known and experiencing the reality of a resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen indeed. Can you say that today? Can you mean it? Have you experienced it? Are you living it? Are we living in light of it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the truth of the Word of God, that our Savior has risen from the dead. We rejoice in that. And Lord, we rejoice that You are living even today, that You have sent Your Holy Spirit, and that even this day and this hour, Your Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts about their need of Jesus Christ, pricking their soul, pricking their conscience, stirring, Lord, perhaps the guilt of their sin, of their need of a Savior. And Lord, help them not to run from a loving, living God who is seeking to bring them to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. And Lord, may it be a testimony of that You are a living God. And Lord, we had prayed that even this day, there would be a soul that would turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to the living Savior, the One who's victorious over all sin and death and Satan and hell and the grave. And they would turn to Him personally, willfully, purposely, receive Him into their life as their Savior, as their Lord, as their God. Lord, I pray even today for those who have accepted Christ, that, Lord, that we be living in victory over sin. And that, Lord, to live in defeat and to live in sin is by our life to deny the reality of a resurrected Savior. Oh God, I pray that even today believers would look at their life. And on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, realize that it is worth it to live for Jesus Christ. It is vain to live for this world, but it is not vain to live for Jesus Christ. May, God, we rededicate our lives to you, to serve you. As we think of the truth, may we do something about it. We pray, Lord, now your work, even as we give this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.